One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anabe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly, perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, use code GHOST to get a special offer, including $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Go to Stamps.com, click the mic at the top of the homepage, and type in GHOST. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, does a home hold the spirit of a beloved prankster grandpa? Still fooling around with his family to this day. A romantic couple's getaway to Bermuda turns into anything but as the two find themselves face to face with a black-eyed child. And no matter how clean a hotel gets, sometimes it's simply impossible to wipe away the spirits of the past.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into the show and share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. I'm having a dorky radio moment. Okay. And any radio person who's listening knows what that's all about if you're a regular listener to the show. Everyone else is going, what's going on? This sounds a little different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It does. We have a new intro to the show.
Yeah.
And I am just blown away by it. It's awesome. and it was custom created for our show. In radio, when you get jingle packages, you know, that's the jingles that you hear between songs.
Uh-huh.
And it usually comes, you know, with like sounders and music for the background, like during weather breaks and stuff. That's the equivalency to what this is for me.
Uh-huh.
Right now. It's this whole new piece of production that you're going to hear on the show on a daily basis. And I absolutely love it. And I want to give credit and quickly tell the story about how it came to be. I wasn't even looking to change the intro up.
Sure.
But a gentleman by the name of Rick McKee sent me an email one day. He's been a listener to the show for a long time. He's in the world of music production. In fact, he composes and scores for the major theme parks around the world. And we can't say the names of them.
Okay.
But you can get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
These are the big ones. And I went to his website because he sent me an email saying, hey, I love the show. I've been listening for a long time. Can I make an intro for you guys, a new intro for your show. And it's not just like stock music and stuff that, I mean, that's basically what we have been using forever. But I want to make it from the ground up. I think I can really create something cool for you. Tell me what you like, and I will compose and create this for you. I'm like, really? You know? And I don't know. I not met Rick before. I didn't know much about him. I at first, you know, you get an offer like that and you think it's maybe it's somebody in their basement with a synthesizer.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, I appreciate that. But then I looked up his website and I'm like, oh my gosh, this he does this.
Yeah.
And he's like my story because I started in radio when I was 14 and kind of worked my way through it and into this and all that. And he started at 14 too, doing that stuff, doing the world of composing for all that sort of stuff. And so he found some relatability there. We found some relatability there. I told him what I liked. I said, basically, I like the old Unsolved Mysteries theme.
Yeah.
And I like The Walking Dead. And if we could create something where it's like they had a baby, that's what I would like for the show.
Sure.
And we talked about different elements and he's like, okay, all right, I'm going to go to work on it. So about a week later, comes back with the package that he built. And I'm just, I love it. I love the beginning of it.
Yeah.
This is so like Unsolved Mysteries-ish where Robert Stack would read the titles. And then it, you know, breaks into the... And then we got our voice guy.
To Real Ghost Stories.
And then this hits.
Online. Call in your real...
More I love
the Walking Dead feel with the violins. And yeah, I love it. So if you want to check out his stuff, he, you know, composes professionally. Rick McKee, that's M-C-K-E-E music.com. He's on Twitter at Rick McKee Music. But just an awesome job. So thank you so much, Rick, for putting that together for our show. It will be in use for many, many years to come. I don't know that I'm ever going to have anything topping that.
No.
Unless he says to me, like, 10 years, hey, you wanted me to do a refresh on your music? Like, then I may go, sure, why not?
It's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm very happy with it. So thank you, Rick. I he said, I don't want credit. I said, you're getting credit whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Because you did such an awesome job on that. So thank you for that. Helping to set the mood of the show much better than I think we've even been doing over the years. So thank you so much, Rick. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have Jerry Pauly on. He's with Hillbilly Horror Stories. He started his podcast a couple year or two ago with his wife and really been a super nice guy. Always very gracious with his time. And he wanted to chat a little bit. I chatted on his show the other day about some stuff. And we're going to be chatting about some interesting paranormal topics here and at the end of the episode with him. First, let's go to our first written-in story of the day. It says, hello, I'm from Louisiana, and I have a little paranormal story to tell you. Now, I am a religious person and have always believed in the paranormal, angels, demons, ghosts, and so on. I've had several experiences where I felt a heavy presence standing over me while in bed or while kneeling as I prayed. These experiences have not always been pleasant, but the story I'm going to share happened when I was a kid around 11 or 12. My dad and I lived in an old house that had been passed down to family members over several generations. It was built by my great-great-grandfather and had seen a lot of people come and go and pass away within its walls. I just come home from school and was home alone hanging out in the living room when I heard the back screen door open and slammed. I thought to myself that it was too early for my dad to be home, so it must be the wind, so I just continued to sit and watch TV and heard it slam again. So I went to check, make sure the dogs were not running in and out or if the wind was just blowing hard, and upon my investigation, I found that the screen door was actually latched closed. Needless to say, this freaked me out, and my heart started racing. So I walked back inside the house feeling like something was behind me, but each time I turned around, nothing was there. I'm petrified at this point when I hear the door slam again. I finally just said, okay, you've had your fun, now please stop. Did not hear the door again, but I did feel an intense presence with me in the living room, and it eventually got to the point it was so uncomfortable that I just went outside and sat on the front porch until my dad had got home. I told my dad what happened, and he said he had a similar encounter in the house, too, and always chalked it up to being my pawpaw, H, who was known to have been a prankster during his life. So from that time forward, whenever I heard strange noises or the screen door or felt a presence in general, I would always talk out loud to Pawpaw as if he were there, and the feelings of fear would always disappear. Was this my Pawpaw? I don't know, because several people had passed away in the home, but whoever it was, I feel they always appreciated when I acknowledged them, because I never felt scared when I did.
I think if you've made peace, it doesn't really matter who it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to think that it's somebody you're related to, but even if it's not, if you're able to reach some sort of understanding where, you know, respectfully acknowledge the spirit there and they leave you alone, then mission accomplished.
Just kind of have that healthy relationship with the ghosts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're good. We're good. We don't freak each other out, and you're happy. Do you think people, or you think ghosts ever get scared by people?
I would think so, if they don't realize they're ghosts.
Well, what if they do? What if they're fully aware that they're dead?
Uh-huh.
That they're doing their thing. But do you think they're ever just, you know, like hanging out in a room quietly by themselves, the ghost? Mm-hmm. And then they get startled when suddenly somebody just barges in, you know, that sort of a thing. Is there ever moments of human emotion or startlement if you're dead?
I would imagine there'd have to be, because I don't think you'd suddenly lose all those very human traits.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, you're still going to have some natural behaviors that are going to occur.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Just an interesting thing to think about. Hey, these days, you know, you can get practically everything on demand. Obviously, our show on demand, you press a button, you get ghost stories. It's amazing. So why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages when you can get postage on demand? Stamps.com is the way to integrate that part of on-demand into your life. Stamps.com, get access to all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it is convenient for you. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package using your own computer and printer. And the mail carrier picks it up. That's it. Click, print, mail, you're done. Could not be any easier. We use it for bunk bed bells and several other things around here. So it's been very, very convenient. Right now, you can use our code GHOST. Get a great special offer, including a $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Yes, don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in GHOST. Stamps.com. Enter in code GHOST. 855-853-4802, our number. Another letter before we go to a caller. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm writing in again to tell you about what happened to my fiance and I on our trip to Bermuda. This is a long story, so I apologize if it's a lot to read. I'm, of course, a geek when it comes to paranormal and things that sometimes can't be explained. I also enjoy conspiracy theories. So when my fiance told me he wanted to plan a trip to Bermuda, I thought, I'm going to get sucked into the Bermuda Triangle, and I love it. Of course, I said yes and was super stoked about the trip. I did my research on unsolved mysteries regarding the Bermuda Triangle, all of which I believe in, and was hoping for a smooth trip. I decided to go to bed a little early one night while my fiancé stayed in the hot tub on the pool deck. I fell asleep around 8 p.m. and was excited to get some sleep after being on the plane and traveling to the ship. I remember being in a deep sleep when all of a sudden I heard the door open and felt the bed sink on my right side. I woke up thinking it was him coming back in for the night, and I couldn't have been in that deep of a sleep because it was only around 10 p.m. I'd say when this happened. Chase? Chase? I kept calling my fiance's name, hoping that he would answer. I was thoroughly freaked out. I did what any sensible 22-year-old would do in this situation. I turned some cartoons on the TV and curled myself up into a fetal position with the covers over my head. I was pouring sweat. I could feel my heart rate go up as I lay there trying to fall back asleep. He's very logical when I told him about it. He thought I was just in a deep sleep and that it was weird, but I knew something freaky was happening. Fast forward a few weeks after the trip, Chase and I are at dinner when he tells me a story that made my blood go cold. He told me that one night on the cruise, he had a dream that he was back at home about to step onto his front porch when a little kid came along riding a scooter. He said the closer she got, the skinnier she was until she was on the porch, skin and bones. He kept calling out to her, telling her to leave, and she wouldn't answer till finally she looked up at him with pitch black eyes. He was standing in his doorway. I didn't invite her in, shut his front door, and then he woke up from his dream. He said it felt so real and I could tell it was taking him everything he had in him to tell me his dream. I stopped him halfway through and told him you had a visit from a black-eyed child. He looked at me crazy until he looked it up on his phone. I've never seen his face as white as it was when he realized it was a real thing, and others have had visits too. I'd like to add that we took a snorkel tour and saw two shipwrecks. There were no casualties, but I wonder if any other shipwrecks haunt the waters. Another, the Bermuda Triangle has got some serious mystery to it, and I honestly think that might have been the reasons for these weird dreams or experiences. I've been wanting to share for about a month now. This happened in June, so it is still fresh in my mind. Let me know what you guys think, and if my experience and my fiancé's dreams had anything to do with each other. Keep up the podcast. I've listened every day for the past 2 years. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
So when she woke up and there was no one in the room, if he somehow almost like transported himself, astral projected himself there, but wouldn't he still be asleep there with her?
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
Okay. Then I don't think they're, I don't know.
It's weird to have, you know, it's such a dream, especially if I'm having no knowledge of what the black eyed children are.
Yeah.
And that this is showing up at the very close to the same time she's having a very bizarre experience. I don't know. Is this one of those energy things in a certain area like the Bermuda Triangle where I don't know. Thoughts are
where you transport yourself other places.
I don't know.
I mean, we don't talk about Bermuda Triangle stuff very often.
Sure.
So I can't say I've heard a lot of stories about it other than what everybody's heard as far as Bermuda Triangle and things disappearing. So, But it does make you wonder if he somehow disappeared and was actually back at his house.
Very bizarre.
That's where I'm just getting all tripped up and confused. I don't know.
I remember when I was a kid, we went on a cruise and we part of it was in the Bermuda Triangle area because it's a huge area of the sea. You really can't avoid it if you're in that area. And I remember my mom telling me, hey, we're in the Bermuda Triangle. I'm like, yes. And I was a little paranoid, too, because I watched Unsolved Mysteries on a regular basis. But nothing strange happened.
That's good.
Other than the midnight buffet was not that delicious.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, yeah, that's a kind of... Did the cruise ships still do that stuff? I mean, I remember like that was like such a big thing back and it was always a joke. You know, it's like, oh, go to the midnight buffet and the mid-afternoon buffet and that buffet and this buffet. Is that still a thing where they have buffets like all the time?
I don't know. I would imagine. I would imagine... Well, you know how everything's kind of getting to where it's like, oh, a little tiny buffet here, a little...
Yeah.
Restaurant there, you know, they probably have it more spread out throughout the ship and not just this one massive buffet.
Because that was the thing. It was like this grandiose buffet with iced swans and and everything else. And I don't know. I mean, when we went on our honeymoon, there wasn't buffets all the time. I mean, you could get food if you wanted it pretty much any time. But it was like you go sit down to a restaurant or you can get room service or whatnot. But I don't remember it being such the buffets, you know, are us everywhere or the grandiose ones. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Got a haunted hotel story here. Hi.
Hi, Brewskis. This is Bliss. I thought I would take a moment from my chores to tell you about the place that I work. Before I do that, though, I just have to say I've been cleaning my house top to bottom, making chocolate chip cookies for like the last 4 hours, and I've been listening to episodes of your podcast all over the place, like from the very beginning when you started to like 2 months ago to like a year and a half ago, and I just have to say, besides the paranormal, you guys have a running theme in your podcasts. Squirrels! Oh my god, you guys talk about squirrels all the time. You talk about squirrels in your yard, squirrel catching competitions with your neighbors, squirrel safe haven signs in Braille made out of acorns, squirrels wearing Christmas sweaters, squirrels having the plague, zombie squirrels. Like, you guys are so obsessed with squirrels, and I love it. Okay, so to tell you about the place I work, I'm not going to say the name of the property because the owner is fairly keen to prevent as much as possible the place getting a reputation for being haunted, and which, you know, you can try, but basically everybody and their mother knows that this place is haunted. Even the Pepsi delivery guy knows that this place is haunted, and he's from Phoenix. So it's just kind of funny. There is an office rumor that the owner even hired somebody, a tech guy, to go through and kind of remove references to the hotel being haunted on the internet. I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor. So where I live is a fairly old town for the Southwest, and there are four kind of historic hotels downtown. This is one of them. And basically, I've been in this town for about 17 years, and from the very first time we came, we were told the place was haunted, but I always take those things with a grain of salt until I sort of experience it for myself, because basically anything that's more than 12 minutes old has to be haunted, right? And this hotel is about just shy of 120 years old. So the first experience that I ever came across that seemed validated actually happened to my mother. And shortly after we moved to the town, my dad took my mom on a date downtown, like a kind of walking tour, and part of the tour was to see the hotel. And this hotel is a historic property with a lot of weird nooks and crannies, because the rooms are converted, like the property has been converted, some of these spaces have been converted, so they're just strange spaces. And off the lobby is a small bathroom with a very narrow hallway. There's only one door leading in. Directly from the entrance is the women's, and then to the side is the men's restroom, and the ceiling is low, and there are no windows, and the walls, you know, are very dense, almost very close together. You can touch either wall with your palms flat against them, arm span. So it's just a strange space. Floor is uneven. Anyway, so my dad goes to use the men's restroom, my mom goes to use the women's, and she comes out and she taps gingerly on the men's restroom. She's like, "Daniel, are you still in there?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, I'll be out in a second." She's like, "Okay, I'll wait for you." And I don't know why my mother sounds like that. "I'll wait for you." Anyway, so she's standing in this odd, dense, low little hallway, and the lights go out. And it is pitch black. And my mom just kind of freezes, and then she hears two short footsteps, you know, short distance from her, and then she feels my dad touch her shoulder and his breath on her neck. She's like, "Oh, God, you gotta turn the light back on. I can't see anything." And she touches his hand on her shoulder, and he doesn't say anything. And she's like, "Daniel, turn the light on." And still nothing. And then she gets, like, upset. She's like, "Daniel, this isn't funny." And that's when my dad opens the restroom door and the lights come back on. And she just stares at him. And she starts to shake. And my dad's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And she's like, "I have to get out of here." And he's like, "Don't you want to see the hotel?" She's like, "No, I've seen enough." And so that was like my first kind of validation that maybe some of the rumors were true. And then I got employed there. And one of the first things as part of, like, my introduction to the job was what to say to guests when they ask if the property is haunted. And we have been directed to tell them it is enchanted, which I think is a really very silly answer, because if you enchant something, you're using magic to, like, change its original form, and you'd rather have someone stay in a property that's been, like, spell cast than just haunted. I don't know. Anyway, so, and I just straight up ask, I'm like, "Well, is it?" And she just sort of laughed, the lady who's giving my, you know, job on the job tour, and left it at that. And I didn't think much of it from there, but it did not take long for the spirits to make themselves known to me. And my first experience, just about a month and a half on the job, I had a guest check into a brand new cleaned room on the third floor, and she came down. She said, "You know, hey, I don't mean to be a pest, but I'm really super sensitive to smells, and one of your cleaning girls must have spilled some perfume or something, because it's just rank up there." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, it smells really, really intensely of, like, old violet and gardenia perfume." And I said, "Well, ma'am, we don't even use room fresheners. Everything is hypoallergenic. We're a historic property, you know, like, we use hypoallergenic, non-scented products. I just don't understand." And she's like, "No, I swear." And I said, "You know what, let me come up there, I'll check it out. If it's really awful, we can certainly move you to another room." So she's like, "You know, I'm gonna go to dinner. I haven't even unpacked yet. I'll just be back. You let me know." And I was like, "Okay." So I go up there with another girl who was on the desk with me, and we have digital locks on the door with little pass keys. So I code the pass key, And for the doors, you code the passkey, turn the handle, and push the door in. Well, I code the passkey, it goes green, I turn the handle, I push it in, and the door gets shoved back at me. And my coworkers step back in surprise. And she looks at me, she's like, she must have left the window open. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, because draft. And so I wait a second, and I do the same thing, code the passkey, turn the handle, push the door, and it opens just fine. And I'm like, well, that is really bizarre. You know, I didn't say that to her, but I'm just thinking, that's really bizarre. I go into the room, first thing I do is look for an open window, and there are no open windows. But there's also no smell. I mean, we are, like, scouring the room. At one point, I'm on the floor sniffing the carpet, and my friend and I, this coworker of mine, we're just sort of joking and being like, well, maybe it's the lady who smells that smell. Maybe her perfume has gone bad or her hair products or something. You know, and we're just sort of joking and being frivolous. And we're like, well, you know, we can move her, but a bad smell's gonna follow you. And so we finish up our investigation. And when we do go to different rooms, we have a master key. And so we leave and we're walking down the hallways. I'm like, oh, darn it. I forgot the master key. And so, I go back into the room. I code the pass key and then I look for where I set down the master key and it's on the dresser. And that's when it hits me. I'm smelling perfume, like intense violet and gardenia perfume. We were just in that room 30 seconds ago and it smelled fine. There were no scents. And now the scent is overpowering. It's cloying. And I just grab the key and I start to leave the room and something just stops me. And so I kind of turned back to the room and I said, I apologize that we were rude. You know, I understand that this guest is here for the night, but she will be gone in the morning. And then I shut the door. And the guest came back later in the evening after I had left shift, and she didn't say anything to the desk. She was fine. And in the morning, she didn't say anything to the shift. She was fine. And so there was that. And after that experience, things seemed to escalate pretty quickly in the frequency and intensity of my experiences, almost as if they knew that I knew they were there, and so they were going to make themselves known. Shortly after that, again on the third floor, I was putting an anniversary gift in a room for a couple, and I went into the room, and again I had that strange experience of the door being pushed against me, only this time I had the door halfway open, like I was literally stepping into the room before the door was shoved back, and I fell back with such a force, and I was really surprised by that. I actually dropped the champagne bottle, it was a little champagne bottle I was holding, I dropped that, thank God I didn't break the champagne glasses. And I just stood there for a second. I was like, okay, I have to do this. This is part of the job. So I went back into the room and I stood in the room and I said, I'm sorry. I understand this is your space. You're going to have a guest in this room tonight. I have to put this in here. I will leave quickly. And so I arranged the anniversary gift and I turned and I started to leave the room and I heard an indistinct, like I don't know what was said, but an indistinct male whisper almost directly against my neck. And then I smelled cigar smoke. And it was just like a whiff of some cigar smoke. And I repeated myself. I was just like, I wasn't going to let them scare me. And I just said, you know, again, the guest is here tonight. They're here for two nights and then they'll leave. And I'm sorry for disturbing you. And I shut the door behind me and I let it go. And that is not the only time I've encountered that male presence in that room. A little while later, one of the housekeeping girls came down and said, hey, I think we may need to charge for smoking in this room. And I said, okay. And I looked up the guest to see who had been in that room. And nobody had been in that room for the last 3 days. It had been empty. And I looked at the girl and I said, you smelled smoke? And she's like, yeah, it's really super strong up there. And I just said, that's That's odd because that room's been vacant for 3 days. And the room had been cleaned. She was going in there to do a tune-up, to check the dusting and the duvet and all of that. And she just looked at me. She's like, someone was smoking in that room. And I was like, did it smell like cigarettes? Like, you know, like something you smell today on the street or something different? And she kind of thought about it. And she's like, oh, my God, you're right. It smells like a pipe or something. And I was like, it smells like a cigar. She's like, yeah. And I said, well, it's not a guest. The one experience that I had that just makes me kind of cautious about opening myself up too much to the spirits in the hotel happened in the basement, and I feel like that's where the energy tends to get a lot darker. And I'd always been uncomfortable in the basement. A couple times I had heard footsteps. I thought it was, you know, it was late at night. I was doing a swing shift, and I thought maybe it was part of the laundry crew, although laundry crew is out of there at 5. But I thought, well, maybe they're down there for whatever reason at 8 o'clock in the evening. And I had been heating food in the staff little kitchenette, and I turned to look, and there's nobody there. You know, so I had had little things like that happen. But this one time I go down there, and again, it's kind of in the evening, just after the sunset. And when you go down the stairs to the basement, there's a long corridor to the left and the right, and to the right is a basement garage portion accessible from the alleyway, and that tees off towards the laundry. And so I look up and I see a shadow figure, and that's like the only way I can describe what I saw. It was a broad-shouldered male figure wearing a large, basically what looked like a cowboy hat, but it was so dense. It was darker than the shadows in the garage portion, and while the portion of the hallway nearest me was lit with an overhead, that portion was dark because the lights were turned off. And I froze, and my microwave dinged, and I looked at that and instinctually, and I looked back at the garage, and the figure was gone. And here's the thing. I am sensitive. I sense things, I hear things, I smell things, I feel things, but I don't see things. Like, it's not something I've ever wanted to be able to do. It's not something I really open myself up to doing. And since about the age of 18, I have put a very strong block on my sensitivity because I became so overwhelmed by my empathic ability. So I was shocked. I was shocked that this thing could kind of get through my block and show itself to me. And I was angry because that's usually my reaction when I actually do get scared. On the very back end of that, I get angry. And I was angry and I said, don't you dare follow me home. Don't you dare cause me any harm. Don't you dare ever show yourself to me again. And I left the basement, and I didn't go back down to the basement for the next 3 or 4 days. And I did let the girls know I was working with, because I feel like, you know, they should be warned that maybe something negative was happening down there. And it's funny because shortly after that, the basement underwent major construction. They cleared out a ton of stuff. They cleaned up a bunch of projects that had needed to be done. The space looked very different. And the basement is a huge warren. It's so vast down there. And there are all these odd walls and odd little cubbies and doorways and archways and stairs that lead to nowhere. It is very strange down there. And when that started to happen, the whole energy of the hotel changed, and it became much more intrusive, much more agitated and angry, which makes sense because especially if there's something darker in the basement and they're messing with the basement, it's just going to stir things up. And at that point, we were getting activity almost every day, and in places we usually didn't get activity. One morning I went into the ballroom and I heard someone playing the piano in the little alcove, and I turned around, I went to the alcove and I looked, and there was nobody there. The piano lid was actually locked. Couple days later, my coworker had someone at the desk come up behind her and lift her hair and caress her neck. There was nobody there. She was very upset about that. I had one of my bistro people, my evening bistro people, ask me, you know, who had been at the desk between shift change, And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, yeah, there was a man behind the desk, which is why he was asking, because all the female staff at the desk are all female. And I said, there's nobody at the desk. I had the door locked. There was nobody in between there the last 2 minutes. He's like, no, there was a man there. So, you know, the energy got dark. It kind of got angry. And it took a while for that to dissipate. And it has dissipated. I mean, it literally took maybe about a month and a half for the energy to dissipate. And even our guests, you know, some of them come in really wanting to have an experience. Others don't. Others just joke about it. But even the guests were reporting people walking up and down the hall and knocking on their door when there was nobody there. And we had just done a hall check. Phones ringing and the phone being unplugged, lights going on and off, smells, water faucets being turned on, just such a ramp up in the activity. And so, yeah, I work in that space, and it has calmed down. And I feel like for the most part, it's their space first. This is an old building. It's their space first. I'm going to be respectful, you know, and I try to also let the spirits know, like, hey, we're sharing this space and we're not here to intrude or to insult, you know, but this is a shared space. That's the hotel that I work at, and that's my story. And I guess I'll call in if we have any other fun things or scary things happened. And I just appreciate you guys giving us a medium to talk about all these things. I continue to wish all listeners and the Brewskis a great day. All right, thanks. Bye.
Haunted hotel.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't sound like anything super mean or malicious. It just sounds like just presences there. Mm-hmm. So I think if I were the hotel owner, I'd be like marketing it as come and stay at this haunted hotel and see if maybe that is a better way to approach it than trying to pay people to make sure it doesn't have a reputation as haunted.
I like that. I mean, I think that more hotels should be cool with that idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are now. I mean, there's several that play that up and they find it good. Some are like, oh, no. But I think just the sheer amount that you hear of doing this and making it an element of the hotel, I don't think it hurts anything anymore.
I don't think so. And you know, not everybody's going to have an experience anyway.
No.
Somebody's completely on the opposite side of sensitive, you know, insensitive to an extreme, they're not going to have anything happen. But if somebody's looking to have something not dark and probably not going to follow them home, you know, I don't know that I would stay there, but I think there's a market for it now.
Yeah, I agree. And you see a lot of them out there. It's interesting when I try and get some of the interviews put together for the Grave Talks podcast, some hotels that for a while were okay with the ghost thing now are like, it's like as management changes, every person has a different opinion if this is a good idea or not. And some are like, we don't like to talk about that anymore. And it's like, how many people come here just for that? And you're just making their experience no more exciting than the day's in.
Right.
It's like, If you have something that stands out, you don't have to like put a ghost in your logo and make it like super huge. But if it's an element, it's an element. Embrace it. Make the best of it.
Right.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Joining us now, Jerry from Hillbilly Horror Stories. He was on our program a while back, probably about a year or so ago, I think it was. And he's got his own podcast going on, him and his wife. Fun show. Glad to have you back on here, Jerry. I know there's a lot of things that obviously you've probably had a chance to dive into since we last spoke with getting your podcast off the ground. Let me ask you this, because this is something, and I'm really interested to hear your answer to this. Now that you've been doing your show for, it's been what, a bit more than a year now, right?
Yeah, it was when we were on your show, it was January 2nd of last year.
Okay, so a bit more than a year. Now that you've been on, you've heard a lot of stories, you've had a lot of interaction. How do you feel your knowledge is compared to what it was when you started of the paranormal?
I think I have more questions now than I've ever had.
Yep. That's what I was hoping you'd hear. Because that's the exact same thing I felt too around that first year mark. And still every year to this day, when it kind of comes around for the anniversary of the show, it's like, yeah, I know less. I mean, I'd say I have more stories. I can relate more to people when they tell a story. With another story, but I think I make them even more confused half the time too, because it's like, well, that opens up this other box of worms. And it's one thing having knowledge of the topic, but it's another, I don't think any of us will ever truly be an expert on it, because it just ends up branching out so much.
No, I 100% agree on that. It's really tough to feel like you're an expert in any part of the field. And we have people occasionally write us and say, hey, I've got an issue. Mm-hmm. What's your advice? I'm like, well, unless you want me to tell you a story about a similar, I don't think I could be much help.
I know. I was like, I don't really have advice on what to do, but I can tell you what others have done and what maybe worked for them or what didn't work so well for them, you know, and I can have the exact same thing and have two totally different outcomes for the same, you know, advice, quote unquote. And that just kind of makes them go, well, maybe I just should. I don't know. Either it's going to turn really horrible and attack the gerbils in our house, or it's going to completely go away and everything will be peachy. But yeah, it's interesting. I wanted to talk to you today about an interesting topic. We get it every now and then, but I know you've had some stories about this probably a little more frequently than we have. And that would be children and them having recollections, detailed recollections of basically a past life. I personally had a little taste of this, not myself having the recollections, but our littlest one, Harper, when she was about two, we went to a space museum. And she loved it, thought it was really neat, you know, and she was speaking, you know, in 2-year-old speak. Got home. We didn't look at anything scary or horrible or crash sites or anything of that nature, just, you know, spaceships. And when we were brushing her teeth that night, she looks at me and goes, Daddy, I died. This is not something you expect to hear from your 2-year-old. Like, honey, what do you mean you died? And I'm thinking, well, what the hell are they putting on PBS Kids now that this is her reaction to something? It's like when I was in a spaceship, it started on fire, and I died in the fire when the spaceship burned up. What? Like, this was not part of the children's exhibit. There wasn't like any coloring, like draw the spaceship burning. It was and I was like, so what do you mean? I died, but I'm fine now, but I died once. And then she just goes on, you know, brushes her teeth more, and then it's like, can I have a cracker? And she just, it was, you know, as quick as it came, it went. And it was one of the weirdest things. And she said that to me a couple times within the span of a week or two, and that was it. Then there was no recollection of it ever again. I joke with her now, and she has no idea what I'm even talking about. But I guess it's the closest I've come to that. I know there's a lot of stories that go in much greater detail, but it is a perplexing thing as a parent when your kid says something like that to you.
We did a whole episode on it. There's 8 or 10 stories that we went into pretty much heavy detail on it. And there probably could have been 30 more that I saw that just picking amongst them was hard, but it's amazing how much of that's out there. I haven't personally ran into a lot of stuff, but on our Patreon episodes, we do something at the beginning of the month where we have listeners call in and tell us their personal ghost stories. I got that idea from somewhere. I'm not really sure. But we had a young lady that's a listener that she had a similar story to what you've got. She's got it was a 2-year-old at the time. And he just basically said, I was supposed to come here before, but God told me to come back and now I'm here. And the lady had had a miscarriage like a year before that, before her son was born.
Wow.
But same as your situation, then he just went on to something else like it was nothing. But that was something that she came on and talked about how odd that was that he happened to mention that. And he didn't know that she had had a prior miscarriage or any of that, because why would a 2-year-old know that? Mm-hmm. But she just said it. She just felt like that it was the rebirth of her same child that didn't make it the first time.
That's a real comforting thought, you know, honestly, to hear something like that. You know, it's one of those where you go, is that the case in every situation like that? Or was it just this case? But what a thing to hear from a child.
You know, to answer your question from earlier about what have I learned, I would say this is the one thing that's probably changed my views after experiencing so many different stories and looking up so much on this, that I never really believed in reincarnation before. And now I think I probably lean that way because some of these stories are so compelling, I don't see another answer for it.
Sure. I mean, I could totally see that. I mean, the more you understand, the more you hear these stories that are just completely unexplainable, you have to go, there's something going on here. Otherwise, how would this even be possible?
Well, do you want to hear some of these stories?
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's start with the first one. And I didn't go detail heavily as far as names and stuff so we could get through a couple of these.
Sure.
But the first one involves a three-year-old in Golan Heights, which is right on the border of Israel and Syria. Now, in a lot of parts of the country, especially when you get over to the Middle East and when you get over to the Far East, they really look heavily into birthmarks. If you've got a birthmark, they definitely feel like that was something from a previous life. That's what most people believe, especially in the Far East, okay?
Okay.
And there was this little boy, 3 years old, and he basically said that he was from a nearby town and that he used to be a man that lived in that town, but he was killed with an axe. Now, this little boy had never been to that town. It was close, but he had never been there. And he had a name of what his former name was. And there was a doctor in his town named Eli Lash, and he decided he wanted to look a little bit further into this story. So he and the child and the family, they go over to this neighboring town. From my understanding, it was about 20 miles away. So they go over there, and the little boy actually leads them to a spot and says, "That's where I'm buried." So they dig up the area right there, and sure enough, there's a skeleton. Along with the skeleton is an axe. And the skull of the skeleton had a mark where it had been fractured with obviously the axe at the exact same place that this little three-year-old had a birthmark on his head.
Oh, wow.
It gets crazier. So he then proceeds to tell the name of the man who killed him. And sure enough, in that town, there is a man by that name. Police approach him. They start asking him questions, and the man confessed to the murder of this man. How spooky is that?
And how can you explain that? You know, there's just no way of doing that.
And this guy had been missing for 4 years, and this little boy was three. So about the time this man had went missing and apparently died was about the time that this young man's mother became pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So the timing was really close to each other.
Yeah, that is creepy. What else you got on the topic?
There's another quick one here. A young lady named Erica, she had a two-year-old. This is in 1993 when the child was born. Mm-hmm. And it was a little boy. It was a white couple. Now, that's going to come into play. The little boy one day says that his name is Pam. And she says, well, no, that's your name's not Pam, and plus you're a little boy. And he says, well, I used to be Pam. I was an African-American woman, and I died in a fire in Chicago. Now, this was nowhere near Chicago, and they had never been to Chicago. And like I said, this little boy was 2 years old. One thing you'll find, Tony, in a lot of these stories, mm-hmm. these kids that have these stories are exceptionally smart, and a lot of them are very vocal by the time they're a year and a half, 2 years old.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a coincidence by any way, shape, or form.
Sure.
So she decides to do some checking at the time that he was born, which was 1993, and she checks around for deaths in Chicago. And sure enough, there was an African-American woman by the name of Pam Robinson that died in a fire that claimed the life of 15 people in Chicago that same year.
Do these kids, I mean, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but as they got older, did they have any recollection of telling these stories?
They do remember telling the stories, but apparently as they get older, these recollections start fading. Okay. They remember it more when they're very young than when they get older.
Yeah. That's an interesting, part of that whole phenomena is as they get older, where it seems most commonly that that's exactly what happens. Even if you kind of like keep the memory alive with them, it still fades regardless. And it's just kind of like, what?
Yeah. And I think it's got to do with just closing your mind. Yeah. Children just have a very open mind from the get go.
So. Sure.
Here's the coolest story. Little boy by the name of Sam. He's only 18 months old. Think about that. His dad is changing his diaper, and the little boy looks at him and said, "I used to change your diaper when I was your age." Well, the dad was spooked, obviously. Why? First of all, you got an 18-month-old kid that's talking that well. Mm-hmm. But he tells him, "I used to change your diaper when I was your age." So they start thinking about this, and he goes to his mom's house, and he gets all these old photo albums of his mom and his dad. He just opens it up and shows the kid. Well, they're flipping through. There's a picture of like a 1956 car in there. And the little boy, the little 18-month-old, points and says, "That's my car." And the dad says, "No, that was your grandpa's car." And he says, "No, that was my car." So then they start flipping through more pictures. And there's a picture of this guy's dad when he was a teenager with four or five other boys in the picture. And this little 18-month-old picks out his dad in this picture amongst all these other boys and says, "That's me." And they're like, "No, that's your grandpa." And he's like, "No, that's me." So they decided to ask him more questions. Now, at this point in time, they get this guy that's a professor at the University of Virginia. That's all he specializes in is children with past lives. Mm-hmm. He gets involved. And he starts asking the boy pictures. They start putting all these pictures out and having him pick. And this boy, without fail, always picks himself out of lineups, basically. Gosh. And then he says something that stuns him. He's like, "Yeah, I had a sister, but some bad man made her a fish." Well, that just sounds ludicrous. So the kid's dad, he goes to his mom and says, "Yeah, he said this about some bad man making dad's sister a fish." Now, this kid wasn't aware of this, and neither was his dad. But when the guy talked to his mother, she said, "Yeah, your father had a sister, and she was actually killed by the mob and thrown into the river, actually San Francisco Bay." And this guy had no recollection. He had no clue that any of this had ever happened to an aunt that would have been before he was even born. But yet this little boy, 18-month-old, knew that.
Yeah.
So that's the three stories I brought for you tonight, but I thought that, they were pretty
interesting. That is interesting. That's such a fascinating topic. And to hear, you know, gosh, I could just hear those stories forever just because they're just so fascinating. Wow. Thank you for sharing those with us here on the show today, Jerry. I really, really appreciate that. And we'll definitely have to connect on some other topics and issues as we both continue down the road of our podcast to share some of this stuff back and forth, because it is so fascinating. Jerry, why don't you let everybody know where to download your podcast at, Hillbilly Horror Stories?
It's pretty simple, Tony. Same place that they get your podcast at. You can search us on there. And I want to say a big thank you to all of your listeners, because we were floundering around just out there, not really doing much of anything listener-wise until we came on your show. And so many of your listeners jumped on our bandwagon and stayed that it's meant the world to us, and it's afforded us to be able to keep growing and do things that we never thought we would be able to do. And I just want to say a big thank you to all your listeners who gave us an opportunity.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for joining us again, and we will talk again real soon.
Awesome, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is how you do it. You call, you email, you send in the stories on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how it works. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get access to all of our bonus material, all almost 200 bonus episodes up there at ghostpodcast.com. Only $5 a month to support the show and keep us on the air. New outro music, too.
I like it.
It's a little creepy. All right, that's going to wrap up the show for today. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.